Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So enjoy. Hey, morning, church family. How are you guys doing? Good. Yes. Good morning. A lot of great things going on. Definitely our Jews for Jesus folks are out there on the plaza. You can see them when you came in. Make sure you swing by and ask them questions. Find out how you can be praying for them, connecting with them as a ministry. They do amazing, amazing work. So we're excited that we can support them as part of our mission work that we do around here. We are in a series that we're calling One Another. And so if you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can go ahead and head over to the book of James. That's where we're going to be at. James chapter 5, verse 16, kind of our launching point for today's One Another. Before we get there, though, just a quick shout out. Pastor Josh wanted me to let you guys know, Pastor Josh, our youth pastor, who is working in our youth ministry, said things are growing. We have so many students that are showing up that we need 6 more youth leaders for our Wednesday night program. So if you're interested, have thought about maybe working in our youth program, then just swing by. He's out there at one of the tables, the young guy with the cool hair. Yeah, that's Pastor Josh Shack. Then you can spend some time with him asking him about youth ministry and can be a part of that. So just 6 more and they'll be able to launch really well all the ministries that they're doing. And now, I hope this past week has been really incredible for you guys. Incredible because you were practicing the truth that we talked about last week. Let me put it up here. Sorry. So does anybody remember the truth that we practiced last week? Up here. Encourage one another. 14 of you guys can read. That's really exciting. Encourage one another. That was last week. That's what we dove into. If you missed it, then go back and catch that message, because what we're talking about as a church, as a church community, is how we can do life together. How do we do this thing together that we have value that we can pour into each other's lives? So it's not just you showing up on a Sunday and then heading out here going, okay, I heard from Jesus, but you know, what other value was there? The value is that you have each other, that you have men and women and students who are young, who are old, people across the spectrum who have your back, who are here for you to do all kind of things. One of them that we learned last week was encouraging one another. We're going to talk about a different one today from James 5:16. But if you practice that this week, and I don't know how many of you got a chance to do it, I hope all of you did, but if you practiced encouraging one another this week, then you discovered something that I think is, I didn't mention it, I was just going to kind of see how many people experienced it, but if you practiced encouraging one another, you experienced this. You experienced that it produced in you potentially as much joy and life and hope as it produced in someone else. I don't know if you had that encounter yet, but when you went to encourage someone, hey, let me encourage you. Hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, God loves you. Hey, you're doing this thing well. As you encourage them, probably when you walked away from that experience, you're like, whoa, that felt good. That was kind of cool for me. It seems like as I poured out into them, God poured something back into me. And that is a biblical truth, that as we pour out, God pours back into us. So if you maybe are wrestling with, you know, joy and life and happiness, and one of the things that you can do is you can pour those things out into other people. Even if you're not totally feeling it, you can pour those things out into other people, and you will have those very same things poured back into you by God himself. And we kind of get that from the scripture in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard that before? Your mama's probably quoted it to you around when? Well, what season? Christmas time. Yeah, I heard it all the time from my mom around Christmas time. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And that usually meant that I wasn't getting what I was asking for at Christmas. So I didn't really appreciate the scripture back then. But I totally appreciate it now, because it has more to do than just gifts. That's not just like a gift thing. It has everything to do with life itself. We are blessed. And that word blessed means filled with happiness. We are filled with joy. We are filled with happiness when we give out, not just stuff and things, but when we give out our words. We are blessed when we give out our actions. We are blessed when we give our presence to others. And that's just one of those benefits. It's a benefit to encourage one another. It'll be a benefit to the one another we talk about today and all the way through this series, that as you live these truths, as much is given to you as you will be given to others. And it's really powerful how God works that way. I think it's just how he does church. He wants us to enjoy this journey that we're on, and so he pours back into us the same way. All right, so that's just a little reminder from last week I wanted to give you. If you got your Bibles now, you're in James chapter 5, verse 16. That's in the New Testament. And a real simple phrase is spoken by the half-brother of Jesus. He says this, pray for one another. Now, with me saying that, you're probably like, of course, we're in church. Of course we pray, right? And you know, prayer is a big thing that we talk about in church. Now, if you're anything like me, though, when it comes to prayer, 99.9% of it is me praying for me. There you go, somebody, yeah, there you go, a little shout out there. Yeah. Yeah, most of my prayers around me. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not just like super selfish that way. It's just when I pray, I tend to ask for God's guidance. I tend to ask for God's, you know, light and his hope. I tend to ask for God's work and the things I'm doing. God, help me be the pastor I'm called to be. It is a good thing for you to pray for yourself. I hope every single one of you spend a whole lot of time asking God to do his work in your life. We should be bringing ourselves into God's presence. Hebrews 4:16 says this, come boldly to the throne of God to do what? To find mercy and grace in our time of need. So praying for yourselves, two thumbs up. If you do that, that is awesome. But we're learning in Scripture that prayer is so much more than just you and I drinking of God's grace. You ever just grab a glass of water and just take a little drink of, you know, just, oh, it just quenches your thirst. Prayer is so much more than us just praying for ourselves, taking a drink of God's grace. When we pray for others, it is us bringing an ocean, not just a glass, an ocean of God's power and presence into their life. And that's what it means for us to pray for other people. In fact, it's one of the most powerful, transformative things you can do for someone else. Jim, how can I be an influencer? How can I change people's lives? How can I be this person that just, you know, just things happen around them? How can I be that person? You can be that person by praying for those people around you, in your family, in your circle, in your work. Pray for one another. Now, I know that's not the end thing right now. And in fact, you probably have seen this on Facebook. You ever seen like a big trauma or things happen and someone, and then people post thoughts and prayers. And for a while, that was a cool thing. But now there's a backlash against it. People are like, hey, I don't want your prayers. I don't want your thoughts, because they're like, that doesn't mean anything. That's nothing. It doesn't do anything. And I kind of understand where they're coming from, because you know what? For the shaman who types in thoughts and prayers, who prays to nature, it doesn't mean anything. Why? Because nature isn't the creator. A tree can't do anything for you except, that's my best tree. I'm sorry. If you needed more, that's it. I'm not an actor. I just give you what I got. So, you know, a tree, they can't do anything for it. If a Buddhist is praying to Buddha, that's not going to mean anything. Why? Because last I checked, Buddha was dead. You can actually go visit his body. He's not going to be able to do anything for you. The spiritualist who prays to the universe, that's not going to mean anything, because the universe is not a living being. So I get it when someone says, hey, thoughts and prayers, worst response ever. But that is never, ever, ever, give me an ever, ever true for Christians. When we say, hey, I'm praying for you, that's the difference maker. Why? Because we pray to the God of the universe. We pray to the God who speaks life into this world, the God who holds kings' hearts in his hands, who holds leaders' hearts in his hands, who holds presidents' hearts in his hands, the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the gold under those hills too. We pray to that God who can do anything. So when we say, hey, man, we are praying for you, we are bringing the God of the universe down into these circumstances and situations. The most powerful thing you can do, most transformative thing you can do is say, hey, I am going to pray for you and actually do it. Jesus teaches this, or he teaches this story, but it actually is a real event that happened in his life. Remember when he fed 5,000 people with only five loaves and just a couple of fishes? That's like a combo meal at In-N-Out, right? And so there are 5,000 people out there that were hungry. And Jesus says, hey, what do we got? And we got just a little lunch from this little kid. And Jesus takes that little lunch and he feeds all 5,000 of those people. What was he teaching his disciples in that moment? He was teaching them that even when we bring our meager resources, and sometimes those meager resources are our prayers. You ever just thought, I'm the only one praying for this. Yeah, does my prayer even matter? Absolutely. Jesus teaches us that our meager resources, even if it's just one prayer, God can take those things and he can supernaturally multiply them to overflow to meet the needs of the multitude. So if you are the only one praying something, I want you to know that that still makes a difference, because God specializes in taking the next to nothing and doing the everything. That's how he works, and especially how he works in life and how he works in prayer for us. Max Lucado says it this way, and I have this quote in my office, and I go to it all the time because it encourages me. Our prayers may be awkward. How many of you guys ever pray awkward? That's me. I got those awkward prayers. God, what do I say? Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, and not the one who says it, our prayers make a difference. Do you get that? That prayer is not like on your strength and your ability and your might and your influence. You just simply bring your prayers to God and say, God, this is my heart. I'm praying this on behalf of other people. I'm being a prayer warrior for those people around me. I'm bringing those prayers to you, and I'm going to let you be God and do what you can do in this circumstance and situation. In fact, the apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, who told us to pray for one another, he goes on to say this a little bit later in that same chapter. He says, the prayers of a righteous person changes everything. It avails much. That the prayer of a righteous person has great power. You ever heard that verse? You ever heard anyone read it, say it to you? I have. And I remember growing up that whenever I'd hear this verse, the very first thing that I always would think about is, yeah, that's not me. Why? Because I'm not righteous. The prayers of a righteous person avails much. Well, that's great for Billy Graham. That's awesome for Mother Teresa. That's really cool for these pastors that are out there. But that's not me. And so I would actually read this verse and think, man, yay for them. But here's what Scripture teaches us, if you've ever thought that or ever believed that this verse doesn't necessarily apply to you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, Jesus became our sin, and in that transaction of him becoming sin for us, we gained his righteousness. So I don't know if you know this, that when you became a Christian, it didn't just mean all of a sudden you get to come to church and you got really cool friends and Pastor Jim is sending you emails all the time, even though those things are true. It doesn't just mean that. When you became a Christian, God actually settled in your soul and he took away your brokenness and he took away your hopelessness in your soul, and he replaced it with righteousness, so much so that when the God of the universe looks down and sees you, you know what he sees? He sees righteous. He sees righteous. He sees righteous. There's not a one of you that is a Christian or a Christ follower that God doesn't see as his righteous son and daughter. How glorious is that? Now, that doesn't mean that we always act that way. Absolutely not. I mean, kids don't always act like my kids. Sometimes they act like my wife's kids. And just, but whose kids are they still? They're still mine, right? So we are still God's, his sons and daughters, whether we act like it or not. And he still sees us as righteous. So this verse applies to us that the prayers of the righteous people, that is you. Let me hear the righteous people. It's okay to say amen.
Amen.
The prayers of righteous people make a difference. And while we were never good enough to open the doors of heaven ourselves, Christ opened them for us with his righteousness, upon whom he freely bestowed each and every one of us. So can I say again, your prayers make a difference, especially your prayers for each other. I was reading this week just a little quote, and I'm gonna give you this little thing that I read because I really love it. It simply encourages that difference that we can make. It was this statement: there is no place, there is no person that is closed to the effects of your prayers. Why? Because no one has the power to keep God out. There is no country immune to prayer. There is no city immune to prayer. There is no government immune to prayer. There is no organization immune to prayer. There is no person in this world that can keep the power of prayer from having effect on their lives, because God is the God of our prayer. And as I read that, I was like, that is so true. I mean, sometimes I look at governments or look at countries or look at circumstances and situations and go, man, yeah, I'd pray for that, but ain't nothing gonna happen there. But what we learn here is this truth, the truth that our prayers absolutely matter. And there's no one immune from the effects of them, because our God is the one who says, I've got it. I'll step in. I will engage their heart, and I will bring change to those circumstances or those situations or those people, because you are my son and daughter, and I hear what you have to say. Which kind of brings me to another truth that I think is just as important. It might be radical for you, but I think you're ready to hear it. The other truth is this: as Christians, as Christ followers, God has given us the ability to influence his heart. Do you know that? As a Christian, as a Christ follower, God has given you the ability to influence his heart. Now, sometimes when I say that, I'll get some theologian folks that, you know, love theology. They'll come up and go, Jim. And usually the deeper they go, the more trouble I know I'm in. Jim. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what? And they're like, you know, God doesn't change. You know, God, he's the same today, forever, yesterday. So God is the same. We can't change God. I'm not talking about changing his nature. I'm not talking about changing his character. I'm not talking about influencing those things. I'm talking about influencing his heart. And scripture says he has given us the ability to influence his heart. And the reason he's done that is because we're his children, we're his kids. The people that can influence my heart the most is not you guys. The people that can influence my heart the most, my kids. They're the ones that I know, that I care about, that I love, that I'm interacting with. Those are the ones that come up to me and say, hey, Dad, this is what we need to do. And I'm like, I'm listening, because you're my children. Then it's the same for God. As his children, we can influence his heart. In fact, if you're wondering where the scripture is on that, I'll give you a couple of scriptures, because this are the words of Jesus. He's the one that teaches us this truth. He says this to his disciples in talking about prayer, Matthew 18:18. He says, listen, disciples, you want to learn something about prayer? Know this: truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's simply saying, hey, as you pray and as you bind fear and as you bind all these things that on earth and hopelessness, they'll be bound even in heaven. But as you loose, you know, God's love and God's grace and God's peace, and not only your actions, but your prayers and your words, those things will be loosed in heaven. As you do this, you are changing the very nature of how God is working in this world. And my friend, that is influence. And he goes on a little bit later to give them this truth about prayer from Luke 18. Because they come back to God, to Jesus, and they say, really? We can change things? We can influence this world? And Jesus is like, absolutely. He says, but let me tell you this story first. And he tells them this in Luke 18, verse 1. And then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then he tells this story. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So he was just like, I do my own thing. But there was this widow in the town who kept coming to this judge with a plea. Every day she would come to him, grant me justice against my adversary. Every day, grant me justice, grant me justice, grant me justice. And for a long time, this judge, he refused. But finally, after she came again and again and again and again, the judge says to himself, even though I'm not doing this for God, and even though I don't care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she eventually won't come and attack me. I think the disciples laughed at that last part too, because you see this widow going, I've been asking for a long time for this. And he shows up at the house with a stick. And now you're going to get my broom. Jesus tells this story to the disciples and then says, hey, this is how it works. He says, listen, this is like God's heart. Even though he's so much better than this unjust judge, he says, listen, how will he not hear those who cry out to him day and night? How will he ever keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice. He will see that they are heard and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find those who have faith on earth, those who are willing to press in and ask God? Now, this is not a story about grandiose words. Jesus wasn't teaching his disciples, if you want to pray and grab God's heart, you need grandiose words. Thou goddess of heaveneth, how is this thou doingest? You know, you don't have to bring back the these and the thous to get God's attention. That's not what this story is about. It's not about super long prayers. Oh, in order to get God's attention, you got to be able to pray for at least 45 minutes. I don't know that I can have any conversation for 45 minutes, although you guys think so because I preach long sometimes, but still, that's just a different thing. It's not about long prayers. It's not about having some deep spiritual knowledge. Oh, if you just had this secret knowledge, your prayers would make a difference. What turned the heart of God according to Jesus? It was just their persistence. So it doesn't matter how well you pray or what you say or, you know, just exactly who you are. This was just a widow that had no influence anywhere in her country. She just simply came to that judge and said, Judge, today, here's my heart. And then she came the next day. Today, here's my heart. And she came the next day. Here's my heart. It was her persistence that influenced the heart of God. And that's part of what Jesus wants us to understand. Sometimes it's just being willing to come to God and not giving up. God, I'm going to bring this thing to you. I'll even bring my broom one day, God, so that, you know, hey, it's my broom, you know. I'm just going to keep bringing it to you. And that moves the heart of God. Now, that does not make God a magic genie. And we can't just go to God and say, God, whoo, I just want some stuff. You know, my friends want some stuff. You know, we can just ask God and he's like, boom, boom, boom. And he gives it. That is not how God works. He still has his plans and he still has purposes. But those areas that we can bring change, he says, if you're willing to bring it to me, you will see incredible things happen in this world. Now, some of you are ready. You're like, okay, Jim, I get it. There's power in my prayer. You believe that? That your prayers make a difference. That they matter. I hope you believe that. That your prayers for others, especially others, man, it changes things. So you're probably at the place now of asking this one question. So what do I pray? Okay, Jim, I believe you. I'm taking you at your word. My prayers make a difference. I'm going to start praying for other people. Let's do this. So what in the world am I praying? I'm going to give you three things. Three things that you pray for other people that will absolutely open the door to God doing some amazing things in you and in them. So you've got pen and paper. Write these three down, and you can just work on them all week. The first one, you ready? And praying for others is the first thing you need to do. Super simple, super easy. Ask them what you can pray for them. When is the last time you ask somebody, hey, how can I be praying for you? When's the last time you did that? No, think about your marriage. We talk a lot about marriage relationships and how those can be better around here. No, how powerful that if today you just approached your spouse and said, hey, listen, hey, just, you know, how can I be praying for you? Jen will do this to me sometimes. I mean, we can be in the biggest fight ever, right? Just rah, da, 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 you know, and I'm just, you know, I got the wall up and I'm just like, rah, rah, and she can come up to me and say, hey, babe, babe, hey, hey, just, I know it's tough right now for us, but how can I pray for you? You know, and I want to be mad and I want to be angry and just pray that you're not a jerk, you know, and I want to, I don't say that, but I want to say that, rah, 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 you know, and, but my, what happened? My heart melts. I'm like, my wife, she cares. And she wants to know how she can pray for me. And it tears down the walls and those kind of things. So if you just want a marriage tool, just asking how can I pray for you is huge and it's pretty big. But how powerful in those moments when a husband and wife are dialing into what's going on in the heart. I mean, it literally opens the door to what's going on in the heart and soul. Things I probably would have never said to her, I would be willing to say, babe, I'm struggling. I'm wrestling right now. Could you just pray for these things? It doesn't just have an impact in like marriage relationships. When's the last time you ask your kids, how can I pray for you? You know, you ever kid ever come home from school and you're like, hey, how was school? Great. How's life? Great. How's everything? Great. Just leave me alone. Great. You know, and you're like, oh gosh, man, I'm never going to break into that heart and soul. But you catch them in a moment where you simply ask this question, hey, how can I pray for you? I've been floored at what I've heard from my kids when I ask that question. Seriously, Dad, you're gonna pray for me? Well, I am crazy stressed. Man, stress at school, a lot going on. If you're really gonna pray for me, can you pray for these things? And I've been like, yes, 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 thank you. I will pray for those things. Wow, I just got a glimpse into their heart. Maybe for us as moms and dads, it's just wading into our kids' lives and saying, how can I pray for you? And seeing those doors open. You remember God gave us these one another so that we know how to live for each other and live with each other and do life with each other. This is what God means by that. That these doors and these windows into our lives and our souls get open. I mean, maybe at work. Maybe work just stinks for you and you don't like anyone there. That's probably you, but if you don't like anyone there, you know, what if your approach is, how can I pray for you today? Maybe this afternoon you pick the person you like the least and you text them, hey, thinking about you today, how can I pray for you? Now, some of you are going to get that text and think, oh, they don't like me. What's up with, somebody's already texted me. I'm like, anyway, but you know, what if you did that? How powerful would that be? That we were people that prayed for each other, like coworkers, more importantly, people at church. I mean, we walk in and out of here. A lot of folks that will show up here on Sunday and come in and out, that we pause them just for a moment. I've seen this happen this morning, and someone says, hey, how can I be praying for you this week? How powerful that we become prayer warriors for each other. We say that prayer warrior and we think someone that's on their knees for like, you know, 7 days in a row, you know, 22 hours a day, and that's not what a prayer warrior is. You know what a prayer warrior is? Someone willing to fight for someone else. Very definition of a warrior. Someone willing to fight for someone else. If you're willing to take 3 minutes out of your day and fight for someone else by praying for them, then my friend, you are a prayer warrior. And I think we all need to be prayer warriors. I think that's what God is calling us to. So the first thing I tell you is simply ask them. Ask people how you can pray for them. Now you actually have to pray for them. Have you ever done this? Don't answer. I'll just tell you I have. Hey, praying for you. Yeah. And then like 2 seconds later, you have no idea. You don't even know what their name is. I don't even remember what you said. If we ask, how can I pray for you? What do we got to do? We've got to pray for them. Don't let anyone label you the person who asks but never prays. And so if we ask someone how to pray, then we got to do it. Maybe you just stop in the moment. And maybe you write, somebody asked me to pray something a little bit earlier. I was like, I'm going to write a text note because I can't remember. I'm not checking my fantasy football team. I'm writing down what you're asking me to pray because I won't remember. So we have to be people that pray for each other. All right, second one. We'll go quick. Second one, here it is. First, you ask them what you can be praying for them. And second, you ask God what you can pray for someone. I don't know if you've ever done this. I mean, you want to revitalize your prayer life, then yes, ask people what you can pray for them, but just go to God and say, God, Steve's on my heart. He's on my heart. What can I be praying for Steve? You will be shocked at what God will say to you. Now, God's not going to dump the truck about Steve's business. God's not in the business of gossiping. He's not going to go, you won't believe what Steve did last night. That's not what God's going to do. But what God will do is said, hey, can you pray strength? I've totally been there, and God just, the impression, he just needs strength today. Steve has no idea what he's going to face, but I know. And you can be his prayer warrior by praying strength for him today. I've heard God say, peace, pray peace for this person. Hey, pray this, pray wisdom, pray wisdom. As we go to God and say, God, can you show us what to be praying for others? He will do it. Why? Because God is the one who's asked us to pray for each other. And so if God has asked us to do this, he will give us those things to pray. And talking about opening up a window between you and God, you want a better connection with God, then you spend some time saying, God, show me what to pray. And then watch how God begins to speak to you and revitalize your prayer life as you're praying for each other and gives you insight into what's going on in the world and circumstances and situation. It's so powerful. So make sure you're asking God what you can be praying for someone else. And the third one is this. This is just a super practical one. Jim, I've asked them and I've asked God. I still don't know what to pray. What can I be praying for them? Simply this, pray scripture. Now, if you've ever prayed scripture before, but it's the coolest thing ever. It's some of my go-tos. I love praying Ephesians for people. So sometimes when I don't even know what to pray for Steve. I have no idea. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray Ephesians for him. So I'll open up to the book of Ephesians, and I'll just begin reading. Verse 3. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Father, today, can you let Steve experience those spiritual blessings? Can you just work in his life in a way that every spiritual blessing that you have for us, that he can just begin to experience those things? That even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, Father, can my kids today, can my kids feel chosen? Everything in the world is going to say that they should be last, but can you let them feel first in your eyes and your grace and your peace? Before the foundations of the world, he chose us that we should be holy and blameless. Father, can you let my boys feel holy? And the world's throwing a lot of stuff at them. Can you let them feel holiness? Can you not let the world blame them for everything in this world, but can you let them feel blamelessness? Man, you just go through Ephesians. Here's what will happen. I don't know if you're like a microwave prayer. I tend to be still a little bit, but it's just a quick prayer. God bless, help, love, amen. You start praying scripture and you'll find yourself on your knees for a long time. Just going through and just praying scripture for people, praying John 3:16, praying, you know, Psalms 23, praying scriptures for the heart of people. If you don't know what to pray, you just start praying scripture into people's heart and lives. And the last one I'll give you and then turn you loose. And I think this is an important one. Ask people what to pray. Ask God what to pray. Pray scripture for them. But most importantly, always, always, always pray God's will. Pray God's will. What does this mean? Simply this, that one, we're honest with God about what we want for someone else. Hey, Father, this is what you want me to pray for them. This is what they're asking for. But we willingly surrender the outcomes to him. Jesus modeled this in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he was facing the cross, and it was tough. He was going to take on our sin, all that kind of stuff. And as he went to the cross, he had this prayer. He said, God, if there's any way you can remove this cup, please do it. He was being honest. He was wondering if God had another plan and another purpose that can answer this question of salvation for us. And he was bringing that to God in honesty. But what did he say at the end of that prayer? Luke 22:42, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. But not my will, yours be done. Here's what that means for me. One, I am absolutely willing to pray big prayers for you. You come up to me and say, Jim, and I need to pray some healing. Oh, we're going to do it. I'm going to ask God to bring healing. I love big prayers. Let's pray big prayers. God, you bring healing to this person. You bring healing to these circumstances and situations. Absolutely. You ask me about healing. I'm going to pray for healing. We're going to pray big prayers. You need a job.
You said, Jim, I need a job, man. Let's pray. God, you give them the job. Make it the best job. Give them six figures. You do the whole deal. Yes, absolutely. I'm going to pray big. Yeah, you come up to me this morning. You say, Jim, I want to win the lottery. I'm going to say, yes. Yes, let's pray you win the lottery. So you can tithe, and then we can just do this thing. You know, let's pray that. I have no problem praying big prayers. If you've ever prayed with me, you know I will pray big prayers for you. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. But I know you will also hear me say this, because this is a piece of my own heart. At the end of that big prayer, I will say, Father, but no matter what, your will be done. God, you work. You do your heart. You do your thing. If you choose to do something else, we are willing to still follow. What does that do? That puts us in the right place for God to do some of his greatest work. Some of the best prayers that God ever did for me were prayers that he did not answer or he said no to. Because I'm praying for this one thing and I think this is the thing and this is it. Or I'm praying for this on behalf of someone else. And God's like, that is so not what I want for them. And if you'll just trust me and follow this path, I have something greater and bigger and better. It's going to look different. It might be on a painful road, but there is glory at the end of it if you'll just trust me, if you'll just trust my will, and if you'll pray that way. And so here's your challenge. Super simple this week. Your homework, as someone called it in second service. Here's your homework. Starting today, every day this week, I want you to seek someone out. It can be your spouse, it can be your kids, it can be your coworkers. You seek them out and ask this question, how can I pray for you? Your job, pray for yourself for sure. But this week, you find people and pray for them. Text them, email them, call them, whatever it is. You ask the question, how can I pray for you? And then you pray for them. You don't have to pray with them right then and there. You can just make a list, note. But you ask how you can pray, and then you go and pray for them. And just to model this for you, so that you know that I'm living this stuff too, in your chairs are 3x5 cards. We're going to sing one more song. And during this song, I want you to do this. I want you to write down a way that I and my staff and our pastors and our elders can be praying for you. We've been collecting these all morning. We've got a big old pile of them. You write something down. You drop it in there's a little basket out there in the hallway on the way out. You drop in the offering things. Here's what I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to live this truth this week by praying for you guys. So you just let me know how I can do it, and we'll be praying for you all week. But this is our homework. God has called us to pray for one another. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing this final song. Father, so simple. This is the breathing of Christian life. We need it. We're desperate for it, but we don't even think about it. So, Father, in these next few moments, let us think about just the breathing. Let us think about just praying. That we absolutely are called to pray for one another. Father, make us prayer warriors this week, that this week we put on the armor and we go and not fight with each other, but we fight for each other. That we bring to you other people's hearts and needs, that we listen to you, that we pray scripture for each other, Father. That we become a true family. Well, we are knit together because of our compassion and our caring and our desire to see you alive and at work in the lives of each other here in this room. God, you do your greater work. Father, I want to see you answer big prayers this week. I want to see you answer healing, and I want to see you do amazing things with jobs, and I want to see you do amazing things in hearts and marriages and parenting and school. Father, we pray big things, but ultimately we pray your will. So you do your work in our life and our heart this morning in an incredible, powerful way. We love you, we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.